Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and I thank the Lord that He's alive and well, and sometimes we just see Him intervening in our life and helping us out. And I've seen that just recently where just the Lord has helped me in just almost a miraculous way. And so we thank God for that. And He is alive and well. And He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. You know, He mentions this three times in the Gospels. And if they didn't pass away, where are they? And that's what we're talking about in the program. Now, we may sound very negative at times, and I would say it's, you know, we're not talking about just a matter of interpretation of a verse or so, but the thing that I'm so concerned about is what is going on today is pulling out the rug from the Christian population, and it's being done through the Greek departments, and now as pastors and so many organizations are picking up what they learn at the Greek departments, they have introduced absolute chaos and not absolutely non-scriptural things. For instance, last week we talked about it, and I saw a magazine that I almost never disagree with. I agree with them all the time. But they mentioned a statement of faith that they thought was somewhat biblical, in which they talked about the infallibility, inerrancy, and so on of the originals. Well, I'm telling you, and it was a statement put out by some evangelical scholars, and I thought it is about as non-biblical as anything could possibly be, because all through the Bible, God talks about the Word of God. He says, the Word of God is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments lasts forever, He says in the Bible. And so God always said that He would preserve His words, and always the Bible teaches that we have His words, and this is a teaching from cover to cover. We could just spend the whole program, which we've done many times in the past, of quoting scripture verses that say that God would preserve His words and then go and show that God has given His words. I quote it again, you know, but the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And some people just cannot understand it today when we say that we have a Bible that is perfect. Because some scholar that they listen to and respect says that he's found errors in the Bible. Well, that's his opinion. But Jesus taught that thy word is truth. It's simply a matter of believing what Jesus said. He said, thy word is truth. And he said he would preserve it forever. So somewhere on the earth, we have it. And when it comes to the so-called Greek, there's all kinds of Greek texts which we've said so many times. I mean, Nestle's Greek text has gone through, now it's the 27th edition, the last I heard, and each one comes out with a new translation and version. I mean, it's absolute chaos, and they change these editions all the time. And people sit on them, and they're every kind of a denomination, and we talk about that. Unitarians sit on it, Roman Catholics sit on it, Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini is on the American Bible Society translations. I mean, you have every wind of teaching, every wind of doctrine. It's like I saw a cartoon, and this person comes into a Christian bookstore, and he says, which Bible would you like to back up your doctrine? You know, I mean, it is chaos and confusion to the nth degree. And so our program is saying here that God has given us a Bible that is given going to 5 billion copies, and by His power He has preserved it. The majority of Christians, large majority of Christians, that read the Bible every day, read this Bible more than all the rest of them put together. It's called the King James Bible, and every verse that deals with the what Bible is the Word of God, every verse that deals with it, in even the corrupt Bibles, point to the King James Bible like a laser beam. And that's why we keep giving these verses on this program. And if you don't agree with this, Where in the world is your Bible? You listen to a person that attacks the King James Bible or questions it, and I mean it is questioned, like these study Bibles come out and they have these little footnotes, some manuscripts read, and you have no idea how you're going to find out which manuscript reads what. Now, we've got information here, and I have a whole library of books, and we've done the research, and that's why we have this program. I've been studying this for 30 years, and we got many, many, many books. And by the way, there's a lot of them coming out today that are fantastic. They have done their homework. They have done all the research on this, and they back up what we've been saying for 36 years on this program. But we don't even need that, but we have it. God has given it. You know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. And so the Lord picks somebody out. He works on their background. He trains them. He gives a super intellect. And then they write the books, and the books are out there. But I've talked about this before. So many people seem to have a problem with this that they're like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They come and give you their literature and talk to you, but they don't want to take anything that you would give them. And really, they don't want to get into discussion with you if they really think you know something. I mean, you can invite them to come back with their leaders or whoever that they follow, and generally they don't do it, see, because they don't want to do it. And people that are attacking the King James Bible, you don't hear them come on the air and even debating me. That's the interesting thing. We've been on 36 years, and they could come on, and if they were gentle, you talked in a gentlemanly way, I would listen, and they could bring up their questions and so on. They don't come on. Those professors in these colleges at Moody and Cedarville, and we could go on and on, that are destroying your faith in the Bible, that don't know what they're talking about, come on the program here. We invite you to. We've call in, and we'll discuss it with you. But and we'll come to your colleges and do it. Now, I've had college to do this already, and I've debated the Greek professor from that college in front of the students. But most of you, you're afraid to do it, and you won't do it. And I'll be glad to do it anytime you want to do it. But you're afraid to do that, and you don't want your students to hear it, because you don't know what you're talking about, and you're on an ego trip, and you're deceived by the devil. And if that's not all, I can't say words bad enough about a person that would undermine a person's faith in the Word of God. God says, "In thy word do I trust." And Jesus said, "Thy word is true." I mean, can't we understand that? I don't care what any scholar says, what any PhD says, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, "Thy word is true," and he said that he has given us the words that thou hast given me in the Gospel of John, and he tells us he's given it to us. Are we going to believe Jesus, or are we going to believe these people? Now, he's told us where it is. He's given the Bible's just loaded with scripture verses that say where it is. He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And we've been saying this on this program. God gave it to us in the Syriac Peshitta. He gave it to us in the Koine Greek. He gave it to us in the Gothic. And he gave it to us in the Aramaic. I'm telling you, you just go right on. And the King James translators were the best group that ever came together. And they understood something about manuscript evidence. And not only that, he gave it to us in the Hebrew Greek. All these scripture verses, God said he gave it to us. You know, the Bible says in the Hebrew, God says, "This is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I gave unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth thy seed, or out of the mouth thy seed, from this generation forever." And the King James Bible is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. And Jesus in his day, he condemned the Pharisees for perverting the scripture, but never for changing it or corrupting the scripture, because God said he'd keep it. And so God has told us that we have it today. We have it in the authorized King James Bible. You know, I'm going to talk about the solution today because, you know, whole churches are collapsing and denominations and schools because of this the corruption that is in there. And we're going to talk about what we can do about it. And I'm only going to say what the leading Bible-believing fundamentalists that God has used in the past have said. That's my position. They talked against the same thing. They recommended the same recommendations. They fought the same battles, and we're just continuing on in the same thing that's been going on ever since the Garden of Eden. The devil is questioning the word of God. Eve, she takes out a word freely that God has said. She adds a word, neither shall ye touch it, and she changes it to lest ye die from what God had said. And that's exactly what is going on today. And these people are not going to change, many of them, but a lot of you that are sincere Christians are going to change when you investigate, because more and more books are coming out saying exactly what I'm saying here. And as you, the Bible says, prove all things. And so you need to start reading. We talked about some of the books, but I want to read what Charles Spurgeon has said, and have Brother Al's going to read that now.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. And you invited people to call in. The telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you want to talk to Bruce about this, you can give a call in. We got a few minutes in the program. And also some of the books that Bruce has referenced, you can find them if you go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. You can find a link to a number of these books that Bruce has talked about. And you're talking about a quote by Charles Spurgeon. And the first quote that we have here is, and for those who aren't aware, Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s, probably one of the most listened to, most recorded, and most read preachers since the Apostle Paul, I would say. In London, England, he had the largest church in the world of his day. And let's see. He said, the approved method of the present carnival of unbelief is not to reject the Bible altogether, but to raise doubts as to portions of it and questions as to the uniform inspiration of it as a whole. And Bruce, that's just what you were saying.
Absolutely.
I read the next quote here. He also, a little longer quote here, said, if the book be not infallible, where shall we find infallibility? We have given up the Pope, for he has blundered often and terribly, but we shall not set up instead of him a horde of popelings fresh from college. Are these correctors of the Scriptures infallible? It is certain that our Bibles are not right, but that the critics must be so. Now, Farmer Smith, when you have read your Bible and have enjoyed its precious promises, you will have tomorrow morning to go down the street to ask the scholarly man at the parsonage whether this portion of the Scripture belongs to the inspired part of the Word or whether it is of dubious authority. We should gradually be so bedoubted and be criticized that only a few of the most profound will know what is the Bible and what is not, and they will dictate to the rest of us. I have no more faith in their mercy than in their accuracy, and we are fully assured that our old English version, that's the King James Version that we're talking about, our old English version of the Scriptures is sufficient for plain men for all purposes of life, salvation, and goodness. We do not despise learning, but we will never say of the culture of criticism, these be thy gods, O Israel.
Well, thank you very much. And see, there's an example right there. And then Dwight L. Moody also, that founded Moody Bible Institute, he has stated this. I can find many people that can teach Greek well, but not many that can teach the Bible well. And so he said, for Christian unity, we are to accept the Bible as it is, the English Bible, referring to the King James Bible, for Christian unity. There's a lot of talk today about Christian unity. Well, you're not going to have it when people are putting out these Bibles that disagree in thousands of places. Now, we've talked about this book over and over again, but you know what preachers need to do is And all Christians need to do is get on the website. And I don't know, Al, if you could look that up and we could maybe, if you could find it now, McElroy's book and how to get a contact of him. But he's got a book out, and there's many good ones. No, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're talking here, but it's called Which Bible Would Jesus Use by Jack McElroy.
Right, we link to that from the website. If they okay. Just go to whereisgodsword.com and scroll down. You will find the book right there. I think it's the first book listed in the featured resources. Which Bible Would Jesus Use? And you can click on the link right there. They'll take you to it. Just remember your website, whereisgodsword.com.
When I started this study nearly 30 years ago, because I read in a place where the text we used in college said that Joseph was Jesus' father, and that was an Ebionite reading and come down, the translators put that in there, which was blasphemy, and it was wicked and so on. And so I, when I was in college, I went to a little Baptist church, and a preacher would study very diligently his Greek text. And so I thought, well, I'll go to the college that he went to, and he went to that school in Winona Lake. At that time, a lot of preachers went there, but I think the thing's closed down now. And I went to the head of the Greek department, and I've mentioned this before. And I said, I'd like to know something about the text. I began to study it then. And he gave me this paper, and it was, again, somebody had written a defense of the King James, and it states in the paper, God never said that he would preserve his word. And even till this day, most of those Greek departments do not teach that God said he would preserve his words, or if they say it now, he would preserve his words in all the translations, which is nonsense since they disagree constantly. But that he gave me that paper, and that is when my eyes began to be open, because I'd read the Bible through a New Testament through 100 times by that time, and those verses just popped out in my head. I don't remember anybody ever telling me that, see? And so he said that. And the Greek department, so many of them, they don't even know that or don't teach that today. And that's just the beginning of their nonsense and the beginning of the falsehood that these departments are teaching. Maybe one of these days I give a program how they destroy people's faith in the Bible that we have, the King James Bible. But McElroy's book shows that God himself has picked that particular translation. That's what I'm talking about. He has picked it. And there's many, many verses in the Bible that point to it, showing that God has picked that translation. It just goes on and on despite 100 years of attack. It goes right on. It keeps on every generation. There's a vast number of people that keep right on reading it, and people believe it. God put this program on the air. It never ceases to increase. One other network that's on worldwide just recently asked us to come on their network, which would cover any spots that we're not getting right now. And we're on, I mean, every country. We've got thousands of hits on our website from almost every country I ever heard of on here to get this message out. And the books are out there, and we're talking about the books. And if you get any book, if you're a preacher today and you question this, first of all, you ought to get McElroy's book, Bible Would Jesus Use? And then there's another one, Which Version Is God's Word? And that's another excellent book. Who did we say the author was of that now?
Which Version Is God's Word? Or Floyd, is the Bible? Floyd Nolan, I believe
Floyd
it is.
Floyd Nolan Jones, yeah.
Yes.
You got to get that. You got to get Riplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions. Get these three books to start with. And I have more. I could give you a lot more. And read these things through, because this is the most fundamental issue. Where is Jesus' words? That's why we've had this program on. And I could tell book after book. And I'm telling you, this isn't just a handful of people that believe this. And we quoted Spurgeon. They had to face it. Moody faced it. Billy Sunday faced it. Finney faced it. He says, I never felt qualified to correct it. And Whitfield, they were using the Geneva Bible when he came over, and He came over with the King James and turned, and God used him to turn America upside down. Never was the same after that. And all of the Baptist denominations was built on it. And the thing is today, people, they turn from it, you know, and studies show and surveys show that when they go to another version, they start reading, then they quit reading that, and then it leads them away. And D.L. Moody said the same thing. He says it will lead young men away from the Word of God. Now, what's the answer to this? The answer is this. All of them recommended, and when they opened their Bible schools, to dump the Greek departments. And don't study it because it's they are totally confused. There's all kinds of Greek texts. There's all kinds of corrupt Greek texts. There's all kinds of corrupt lexicons. I was just reading Eusebius' church history yesterday, and he was one of the early writers in church history. And he said that the Gospel of Matthew was written to the Hebrews and was written in Hebrew. So you're not reading, if you're studying the Greek in Matthew, you're not reading original thing written by Matthew, and who knows how many of the rest of them, because they spoke Aramaic. So it's probably a translation of a translation. But, you know, we got the evidence today that God has picked the King James Bible. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. He will abide with you forever. So he's with us forever. And it just goes on. And so you send your young men to a number of these, so many Bible schools or seminaries, and all they do is teach them they don't have a Bible. When you find somebody that attacks the King James Bible, you could say, where is your Bible? And if he says the original Greek, you say, okay, would you produce the original Greek? And of course he can't. I heard somebody in a debate attacking a leading Catholic defender, and he said the authority is in the original Greek. And the lady says, well, would you produce the original Greek? And she said, he said, no, I can't. Or he didn't say that, but he couldn't do it, because if you ask him, where's the original Greek? Produce it. They don't have the original Greek, so they don't have the Bible. They have just a bunch of a corrupt text and a corrupt Greek-English dictionaries and so on that they have. But we have the Bible today. That's all we're saying. That's why we've been on the program today. It is. Jesus said, thy word is truth. If the King James Bible is not truth, where is it? And don't tell me, you say the Greek text. That's a lie right there, because they don't have it. They don't have it. They don't have a Bible. We've got a Bible today in the King James Bible. And the proof of the pudding is heaven and earth will pass away. Every translation, there's been four of them come out by everybody under the sun, and they all pass away. It's just a matter of time till the advertising ceases. And when you have a King James Bible, millions of people believed it was the Word of God, and Moody defended it, Spurgeon defended it, Finney stood up for it. Everyone, Billy Sunday said, if scholarship don't agree with it, scholarship can go to the devil. But you know, we could say today, Jesus died for our sins. When he died, he said, it's finished. Our salvation is complete. We can rest in it. We can trust in it. We can have it as a sure foundation for our souls, as Hebrews says. Jesus says he is the author of eternal salvation. And when you repent of your sins, you're willing to turn with God's help from your sins and trust Jesus to be the Lord. In simple terms, he's the boss. And that means he's your God. And he's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that rose from the dead. And he's the one that when you come to him, he says, I'll never cast you out. He says, I never lost a person. And he said, it's up to him to get you into heaven. And that's the gospel. That is the wonderful news, and we have it in black and white in the authorized King James Bible. God bless you. And if I don't meet you on earth, I'll meet you in heaven.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.